8, 9, 9, 8, 9, we are invitation song.
Ezra chapter 7 and verse 28, if you will. Ezra chapter 7, verse 28. Starting in verse 27, we read, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me." The Bible is filled with stories of people who lived their lives under the influence of God. Through deep faith and a willingness to serve, God used them to fulfill his purposes. Ezra is one such example of what can happen when a person determines to seek God and allows the Lord to use him. In 457 BC, Ezra led a group of Jews from Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem, about 80 years after a group led by Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. The mission of Ezra's group was to restore the people of God. In the book of Ezra, the first six chapters describe the work of Zerubbabel. The final four chapters relate Ezra's arrival and the great restoration he brought about. The theme of Ezra's life and work could be stated as, "The hand of the Lord, my God, was upon me." Because six times in two chapters, he thus attributes his success. In our lesson this evening, let's first notice how the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. In receiving requests from the king, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. Notice Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6. "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." He asked to go to Jerusalem. He asked for certain things. And the king was disposed to give him the things that he needed. He wanted to go to Jerusalem, Ezra 7, verses 12 and 13. "Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect the perfect feast, and at such a time. I make a decree that all they, the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee." He wanted a request of the king. "Let's go. Let us go back to Jerusalem to complete the things that needed to be done there." And the hand of the Lord was upon him. And so the king allowed him to go. The hand of the Lord was upon him to take silver and gold to buy animals for sacrifice. If you're going to begin the temple sacrifice, you have to have animals. And they have to be high-quality stuff. And so you have to have money for things of that nature. Ezra 7, verses 14 through 17. "Forasmuch as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of the God which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, and their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem." They needed certain things, and they had the permission to get these things because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. He was able to buy what is needed for the service of the house of God, verses 18 through 23. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needed for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are that are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest and the scribe of the law of the God of heaven shall require of you, be it done speedily, unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, and to 100 baths of wine, and to 100 baths of oil, and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? The hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Do you see yet how huge the job that Ezra had taken upon himself was? He needed somebody with him. He needed somebody to help him get these things done. And so God took it upon himself. The hand of the Lord his God was upon him, meaning that he could not but have success. He was going to do the things. He was free from taxation, Ezra 7, verse 24. He was free to set up magistrates and judges, verses 25 and 26. Ezra recognized the hand of God was at work in his behalf. Notice verses 27 and 28. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. The hand of the Lord his God was at work on his behalf. He also needed to find servants for the temple. This is a hard job. If you think about it, you can only take people of one particular family to work in the temple complex. You could be a Levite, but not go in and offer the incense, not go in and fill up the lamps, not go in and place the showbread. Any of that had to be done by a priest, which the Levites were of the tribe of Levi. But the priests and the priests alone were from the family of Aaron, who was also a Levite. It was very narrow, and you had to be exact. How would you know whether someone was of that particular tribe? Ezra recognized the hand of God was at work. He needed to find servants for the temple. Prepared to leave, Ezra noted none of the sons of Levi. Ezra 8, verse 15. He didn't have what he needed. He says, and I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. No Levites. There's a lot of work to be done at the temple. There is wood to be hewed. There is a lot of cleanup to be done. And any work has to be done, such as repairs, it requires a Levite to do that. And so you had to have them, but none had shown. He sends men to find some who will go with him. Ezra 8, verses 16 and 17. Then sent I for Eleazar, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief men, also for Joiarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with a commandment unto Iddo, the chief of the place of Casiphia, and I told them what they should say unto Iddo and his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Casiphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, 18, found them. They had then what they needed in order to go to Jerusalem and do the work of God. Could they do it alone? No. They had to have the hand of the Lord their God to go with them. By the good hand of God upon them, they find 38 Levites and 220 Nethinim to assist them. God, they needed God to be with them to provide safe journey to Jerusalem. Ezra proclaimed a fast to seek from God the right way to travel. Now, I know it's easy. We get in a car or a truck and we could travel from the distance from Babylon, which is near Baghdad, all the way to Jerusalem. And if you had a jet, it would take 2 or 3 minutes. But if you had a car, it might make a day and a half. But if you were walking or going by camel, you were going the way of the river, all the way up and then down. 800 miles they were to go. Don't you think that was a scary journey in that day? That someone would be out there in order to take the gold and everything that they had? I do. I think it was a horrifying time. We are unprotected. Who's going to defend us if we need defending? We're not soldiers. We're priests. We're Levites. We know what we do, but we don't know the arts of war. We need help. The hand of the Lord their God was upon them. They needed safe journey. Notice verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of the Lord of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. God took care of their safety needs. They fasted and prayed before God, and he was with them. He provided safe journey to Jerusalem. Having told the king that God's hand would be with them, he was ashamed to ask for an escort. From beginning to end, the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. Why did Ezra enjoy the blessing of God's provision in his life? Is there anything that we can glean from Ezra's life to show us how to do things such as the hand of the Lord is upon us when we go visit our neighbors, when we care for our children, when we seek to take the gospel to a far country? What can we do for that to be true in our lives? The hand of the Lord was upon him. God was with him because Ezra had prepared his heart. Ezra 7, verses 9 and 10, if you will. Ezra 7, verses 9 and 10. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You talk about good things to do in your life. When you talk about things that you will never regret on the day that you die, you breathe your last breath, and you think your last thought, will it be regretting spending so much time teaching God's word to those who need it? Ezra did the best that he could. Lived the greatest life that was possible for him. He lived in that way, and so the hand of the Lord was upon him. Ezra prepared himself to teach the law of the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord. That is, to learn what God wanted of him. And he did it. I know that there are people that study the Bible, I know that there is, at the University of Texas in the English department, there is this one professor who likes to study the Psalms of David. Does she believe the Bible, and does she obey the precepts thereof? No, she just likes the poetry. She's a poet, and she wants to study poetry, and she thinks a high regard on the poetry of David. But it's not for the purpose of seeking the law of the Lord and doing it. No, it's for her own purposes. The hand of the Lord upon her. We should doubt that. Ezra had first made himself useful for the master, useful for the God who gave him breath. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. Be sure and hold your finger there in Ezra. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Starting in verse 20, we read, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, to some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." That's another statement for a life well spent. A life well spent learning what the Lord wants of you, and then going out day by day and doing it. That's the definition for Jesus' life while he was here on this earth. He wanted to do the will of his Father. And so to the extent that the Son of God needs to prepare, he was prepared to do what the Father wanted. He was prepared to live his life as a sacrifice for the children of men. He was prepared to be our example. Ezra made himself useful for the master. He had sought the Lord. He believed that God would be with those who seek him. Ezra 8 and verse 22. "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them that for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." He sought the Lord. He believed that God would be with those who sought him. Thus he entreated God's protection through fasting and prayer. Ezra believed that God rewarded those who diligently seek him. Words you'll find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse 6, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ezra sought the Lord. Ezra believed that God rewarded those that seek God. Ezra was willing to step out in faith. Trusting the Lord would protect them, they began their perilous journey. It wasn't easy. As I said before, it's about an 800-mile trip at the speed of the slowest animal in your herd. That's how fast it was. Not very fast. It made for a trip where you were vulnerable. You were invulnerable perhaps at times with the numbers. But while you were traveling, you were vulnerable before those that had speed. But Ezra was willing to go. God told him to go, and so he went. Ezra illustrated that he had a living, working faith. We've talked about in Bible class for several months now about a living faith. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 26. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 26. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." This is something we can't say about Ezra. God wanted him to go. The hand of the Lord was with him. So he got up and went. It wasn't a matter of comfort. It was a matter of faith. Verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Looking at the life of Ezra, Ezra's life was not a life of dead faith. Ezra obeyed. He prepared himself, and then he went and did what God wanted him to do. Ezra was willing to face difficult situations. Upon his arrival, Ezra was faced with a difficult situation. Notice chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass." Years Ezra had been spending to prepare himself and to prepare everything he needed to do to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he finds there's a lot more work to do. Everyone was about to perish because of what they were doing in their personal lives. They had taken wives that they were commanded not to take. God had made laws about these things because he wanted to keep them pure, because he wanted to keep their worship pure. They had done exactly the opposite. They had taken women that they ought not have. And so Ezra had a problem. Ezra had to face difficult situations. Many of the Israelites had intermarried with Gentile women. The rulers and the leaders of Israel were the worst violators. He was moved to fasting and prayer. Ezra 9 and verse 3 shows how Ezra reacted to these horrible situations. "And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished." We would say astonished today. He was in shock. And this is the way that people in the ancient and even in the modern Near East express to others. You don't leave any doubt that you're having a problem. So he rends his garment. And he starts ripping out his hair. Everyone was looking at Ezra anyway. He was the one, the high priest coming. He had a high priestly lineage coming from Babylon to set things straight. He was in the news. And so he began to show them that there's a great problem. This is what he does. Verse 5. "And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword and captivity and to a spoil and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little while grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, and to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace for their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us and less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. The very first thing, as Ezra arrives, he has to deal with this marriage problem. I don't know if any of you have been in congregations where there have been great problems with marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but it's one of the worst problems that you can have in a congregation. Because, as one of my teachers put it, unraveling the lives of some is like taking a reel that has backlashed and trying to get it all straight again. Eventually, you come to the conclusion that you just have to cut it out and get rid of it and restring your fishing rod. It's a hard thing to do. It is something that's difficult because it has emotions involved. You've got to put away a wife. And in this case, you've got to send your children away too because you didn't marry how God commanded you to marry. Ezra sought the Lord. He believed that God would be with those who seek Him. He was willing to face difficult situations. He was moved to fasting and prayer. He offered prayer, confessing the sins of Israel. He accepted the responsibility that was his. He was encouraged by those that were willing to repent. Notice Ezra 10, verses 1 through 8. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born to them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing because you're going to have to put away your children. The wife that you love, she's going to have to go back to that country that she's from. You won't see her anymore. You won't feel her, she won't be there to benefit you anymore. It would have been easy to rationalize away any need for the people to change. But Ezra did not let the emotionally charged issue deter him from doing God's will. God's will was number one. And he was determined to do that very thing. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezra because he had prepared himself. If Ezra had not prepared himself, wouldn't he have been able to turn Israel around? He had sought the Lord. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do, and he set out to do it. He was willing to step out in faith, and he was willing to face difficult situations. Ezra was not the only person who experienced the hand of the Lord upon him. The Lord was also with a contemporary, a man by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18 tells us that the hand of the Lord was with him as well. Sometimes the hand of the Lord was for the purpose of judgment. But here we have considered the working of God for good in the life of his servant. How will the hand of the Lord be for us? Well, if we don't prepare ourselves to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, it simply won't be. Seeking the Lord with diligence and faith, preparing ourselves to be useful for the Master, stepping out in faith against the odds, facing difficult issues and situations head on. Put yourself in the apostles' place for a moment. What had Jesus just told them? These were 12 men, not wealthy men. They didn't have a lot of resources. They were just willing to go. Jesus said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations? 12 men? What a big job! Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What did he just command them? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the Lord will be with them. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so, what did they do? Well, there is a church here in Marshfield, Missouri. A church that the Lord built. So someone must have started. Someone must have stepped out away from Jerusalem and began to preach. And then from there to the next place, to the next place, century after century, until we get to Marshfield, Missouri. We owe it to those. We owe it to those who have gone before us, who have spilled their blood. We owe it to them to do the same thing, to go wherever we find that we can go and preach the gospel, but make sure you're prepared. Ezra sought the law of the Lord. He sought the law and he did it. We must do the same. Let the example of Ezra encourage us to so live in Christ that one day we can look back at the events in our lives and say, the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. How could Ezra possibly die and doubt that his life is a life worth living? If you are coming to the conclusion that after however many years that you've been alive, if you were to die today and your life is wasted, do what Ezra did. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to do the law of the Lord. Know it and do it. There may be someone here today that has not been doing the law of the Lord. He has not been baptized for the remission of your sins. Your Lord commanded you to do this. You know, the one who gave you breath, the one who came to save you, he says, repent and be baptized through his servant Peter. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Will you do that today? If you have not completed that command, the time is now for you to do that. If you've been a servant of God, but you have left his service in some way, make it right today. If it's a private matter, right there in your seat, ask him for forgiveness. If it's a public matter, make it known publicly so that we can pray with you and that your influence over others can be mitigated. If we can assist you in your obedience, why don't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.